Last time we introduced the fact that Paul was in Ephesus, and it was the center for a great deal of pagan worship. We're going to continue today on this episode of Study, Grow, Know. I'm Dr. Fred. Thanks for joining me.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, thanks so much for joining me. You're listening to Dr. Fred, another episode of Study, Grow, Know. And as I mentioned in our tease, last time we had Paul at Ephesus. And interestingly enough, as I mentioned, Ephesus was the center for a great deal of pagan worship during in the world at that time. Now, it was at one point the trade center for the ancient world, and there were a number of temples and edifices built to various gods. Ephesus itself was the home of the Artemisium, a monolithic temple that was built specifically for the worship of Artemis and one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Artemis was considered to be the goddess of fertility. Within the temple and as part of the process of worship, temple prostitutes plied their trade with those who came to worship. Many immoral things were done in the name of worship at Ephesus, as well as in other cities throughout Asia Minor. And it's a fascinating fact that though I'm sure these pagan practices grieved Paul's heart as the Lord's, he did not start a movement to protest their wickedness. He did not try to shut down the various temples in order to make society, quote unquote, a better place for those who live there. He did not pray against these pagan beliefs, as far as we know, although that was certainly probably part of the way he addressed the situation. He continued to simply and powerfully spread the gospel. Paul did not become politically involved to outlaw the practices of temple prostitution that existed as part and parcel of worshiping Artemis, as well as the other deities in other cities that Paul visited. He did not storm city councils, attempting to change accepted societal norms. Paul attacked the problem spiritually, and in doing so, helped many find their way out of that pagan and pantheistic lifestyle and into a living relationship with Jesus, the author of life and provider of the only salvation that actually exists. Now, the secondary results of this caused an interesting problem that we learn about in Acts 19. And the reason we're talking about this is because many, of course, believe that if our nation would only repent, our nation meaning the United States, maybe you feel that about your nation, or you know others that feel that about the particular nation that you live in, if the United States would just simply repent. And of course, there we're talking about the leaders of the United States, because they're the ones who set the tone and the direction for which the United States moves. Well, people believe that if that were the case, then all would be well. If things were to change, then things would change in a good way. But it's interesting here because one thing changed for Paul and for many of the people that lived at Ephesus, but then it created problems for Paul because of the fact that people became authentic believers, for instance. Well, they no longer needed or wanted to buy the artifacts that were used in the worship of Artemis. This created a problem for the silversmiths like Demetrius because it affected their wallets, their businesses. If more people continued to become Christians, they would no longer need these artifacts. If they no longer needed the artifacts, then Demetrius and other silversmiths and other workers of metal and other business people would lose their source of income. So Demetrius did the only thing he knew how to do. He organized a protest against Paul because of the fact that his business was negatively impacted by those who converted to Christianity. And ultimately, Demetrius saw Paul as the problem. Now, I find that interesting, don't you? Paul simply goes about his business evangelizing the lost. And because of his work among the heathen, the pagans of Ephesus, the Lord begins opening the eyes of those blind people so that they will see the truth found only within the gospel of Christ. Now, once their eyes were opened to that truth, many embraced Jesus as Savior and Lord. And because of the change that occurred within them due to that new birth, they realized that they no longer needed the silver shrines of the goddess Artemis, so they stopped buying them. Not only was Demetrius negatively impacted by that decision, but so were other businessmen of Ephesus, who also made shrines and other artifacts for worship. Well, Demetrius succeeded in getting these other businessmen all worked up so that something might be done to halt Paul's efforts among the populace. Without realizing it, Demetrius was being used by Satan to stop Paul. Do you see that Demetrius was simply a pawn in the hands of the powers and principalities that Paul speaks about in Ephesus 6? Demetrius was not the problem. Satan was, and he remains the problem. You know, people come and go. They're on this earth for a while, then they die. Satan is always there. Always there in the spiritual realm, creating problems and using people more often than not to create those problems in this physical realm. So basically, Demetrius was used as a tool by Satan to overcome Paul's efforts and to cancel out the effects of the gospel. I mean, yes, Demetrius was fully responsible for what he did. He was culpable, and he has been judged for it since he's long ago died. But the real problem is that Satan, as the god of this age and the age that Paul lived in, causes unsuspecting people to do his bidding. Notice the reasoning that Demetrius uses to create this coalescence with the other businessmen of the area. Here's what Demetrius tells them, and it's recorded for us in Acts chapter 19, verse 27. Quote, "Not only is there danger that this trade of ours falls into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be regarded as worthless, and that she, whom all of Asia and the world worship, will even be dethroned from her magnificence," unquote. Now note that Demetrius not only brings up the fact that Paul's efforts are hurting their business ventures, but to throw a bit of religiosity into the equation, he also points out that the temple of Artemis itself will be seen as something worthless, and Artemis herself will be tossed aside by the world. You know, if people would only stop to hear what they are actually saying to realize how empty their words can be. Demetrius admitted that Paul's efforts wound up hurting the image of Artemis. Yet this false goddess, Artemis, was obviously not powerful enough to do anything about it. So the businessmen of the town were the ones required to do something. I find that very interesting, don't you? That's the way it is with paganism. People worship gods who can do nothing to help themselves. The argument certainly implies that Artemis is not so great because one human being, Paul, is in danger of bringing her and her temple down into disrepute. That says a lot. Why do people worship things like this that are made with human hands? Well, it's because they're blind, and we know it. They are blind because they do not have the truth found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not have the gospel of Jesus Christ because too many Christians are concerned about changing society instead of changing lives by introducing people to the person of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, instead of worshipers of Artemis, it could have been Muslims, because this is exactly what they believe, that they have to do things for Allah, because Allah apparently seems incapable of doing anything to save himself or make the world a better place unless his adherents fight his battles for them, for him. This is why terrorists exist. It's also why people who strap bombs onto themselves do what they do. It is because Allah can't. This tells me that Satan is allowed to exercise only so much power. And if he doesn't have people fighting his battles for him, he would not be able to accomplish as much as even he accomplished today. Satan wants authentic Christians to become sidetracked into fighting against people instead of introducing those same people to Jesus Christ. Back in Ephesus, even though a near riot breaks out over this whole issue, Paul wants the opportunity to talk to the businessmen. Paul's friends would not allow it because they believed that he would have been torn limb from limb, or at the very least tossed into jail and left to rot. It's the way they did things in those days. Who was it that organized a protest? Well, humanly speaking, it was Demetrius, worshiper of Artemis, really Satan. He did that. Why? Well, it was due to the results of Paul's evangelistic efforts. It hit Demetrius where it counted. And apart from that, he likely would not have cared about what Paul was doing or saying. Ultimately, though, Satan was losing followers to Jesus, and he didn't like that at all. He watched as people were transferred from his kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of eternal light. And notice that Paul never went on a frontal assault against the temple of Artemis, those who worshipped her, or the silversmiths. Paul essentially took the gospel to the lost people of Ephesus. And because of it, many became authentic believers in Jesus, and a number of churches were started. Because of that, these new believers stopped purchasing silver shrines connected to the goddess Artemis. That was a direct hit to the wallets of the businessmen, as I mentioned, in the community. And it was at that point that they began to push back against Paul. Christian folks, Satan will hit you when he begins to see that your evangelistic efforts are pulling people out of his kingdom into God's kingdom. It's as simple as that. Now, here in America, people have the right, the freedom to protest peacefully. We have the right to work within the system to create and change laws. Because of these rights, things for good can be and are accomplished. However, the greatest change is not done when a good law goes into effect. The greatest change is accomplished when a lost soul becomes born again or authentically saved. You know, their citizenship literally changes and they begin to no longer need or want the things that they used to need or want. This will affect Satan's business. It's going to affect his bottom line. I'm wondering if too many Christians today aren't putting the cart before the horse. Many believe that if we can change the tone of society, then people will change. Has the law prohibiting murder stopped murder? Have all the anti-drug laws and efforts worked to create a drug-free society? Just the opposite is true. People need to be changed from within, and then society will change to a degree. Yet even with that, this world is still on a tremendous collision course with God's judgment. We cannot escape it. The most we can do is escape eternal judgment, and that only occurs when we become authentically saved. Now, the truth of the matter seems to be that it doesn't even matter how many people in society become authentic believers. Society will still not change for the better. And we're told that in many places throughout Scripture. That's only going to occur when Jesus steps foot back onto this planet, enters into judgment, and then rules with a rod of iron. That is what will change society, his physical presence. No amount of self-effort on the part of people will accomplish what only God can do. You know, we all want society changed for the better. Many believe that they can do this through the political process. If God has called you into politics, for instance, in order to affect change into society, then he has obviously done so for a purpose and he will give you the tools to be successful. Changing laws can go a long way in righting the wrongs within society. However, unless you are actually called into that arena of politics, I suggest you don't go there because it will be too easy to get caught up in the problems associated with a political arena, which may and probably will sidetrack you. Politics often winds up pitting people against one another, and because of that, people become blind to the fact that they need salvation. As a politician, even a Christian politician, your overriding reason for being a politician may be to overturn Roe versus Wade, a seemingly good aspiration. Will you be able to do that? And if so, will you change society? More importantly, will you be able to change the final and eternal destination of people in society? Well, that's our show today, folks. We're going to continue with this. And I really do appreciate you joining me today and every time you listen to my shows. Thanks so much for being here. You know, we have an obligation as Christians, and that's to shine the light in darkness. Until next time, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.